Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who are you to judge? So some people will say to fend off criticism, any kind of criticism of their lives and actions. Who are you to judge? And our passage tonight seems to say that we shouldn't pass any kind of judgment. After all, we hear, therefore do not pronounce judgment before the time. But this Advent, we are reminded, in every Advent really, as we look forward to our Lord's coming, that someone will come to judge. We confess it in the creeds, that Christ will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And indeed, when you read the whole last part of this passage we read tonight, you hear not only, therefore do not pronounce judgment before the time, but also before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Our Lord is the one who does come at the end of time to judge the living and the dead. He will come and bring judgment. And so as we in this Advent season know that our Lord is coming, we have to reflect on the fact that our Lord does come to judge. And we have to reflect on what that means and what our lives should look like in light of the fact that our Lord does come to judge. And how are we to act and to live? And here in our passage from 1 Corinthians, we see the Apostle Paul reflecting on how he, as a steward of the mysteries of God, as a servant of Christ, is to live and to act in light of the Lord's second coming. And so tonight we're going to look at what Paul says, how he lives, and how then we are to live and to act and respond to our Lord's church as God's people in light of the fact that our Lord is coming again in glory. So, here in our passage for tonight, Paul points out that he and others who proclaim the gospel should be regarded, should be looked upon, should be seen as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. This Corinthian church, whom Paul knows and loves and cares for, they should see Paul as one who is not there as a hired hand, someone who is hired by them, but rather one who is a servant of the Lord. He's accountable to the Lord as he proclaims the gospel. He does what the Lord tells him to do as a servant of the Lord. But then he also says that he is a steward here. Not only does he say he's a servant of Christ, but also a steward of the mysteries of God. Now the word here translated steward is a Greek word that refers to someone who has the charge, who is in charge, of his master's goods and possessions. So the master puts someone who is actually a slave in charge of all that he owns to take care of it. Now, if you're entrusting someone with everything that you own to take care of it, and what's more, to take care of it for a long period of time, if you're going to do that, you need to find somebody that you can trust, somebody who's going to be faithful with what you have given them. And so Paul says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. They have to be worthy of trust. They have to be faithful with what they have been given. But how do we know what it means to be faithful? How do we know that a steward has been faithful with what has been given to him? Well, it all depends on what the dictates of the master are. If you employ someone to take care of all the things that you own, you want them taken care of in a particular way, based on your preferences and your desires, on what you want, on how you want the things that you have earned and worked for to be used. And so, then the question is, when it comes to a steward of the mysteries of God, what is he supposed to do with them? How is he supposed to treat them? And so then we have to look to the Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. What does our Master say about what he has given out? What does he say about what he wants to be done with the things that he has handed off to these stewards, like the Apostle Paul and other ministers of the gospel? What does he want them to do with the things that he has given? Well, he wants what he has given to them and entrusted to them, to these stewards, to be given away as free gifts. He wants his forgiveness, life, and salvation to be given to poor sinners so that they may believe in Christ and be saved. He wants them to hear the gospel, the good news of God's forgiveness. But he also wants them to hear the law, because by the law they come to know that they are sinners, to know that they need forgiveness, to know that they need what Jesus offers. And so our Lord entrusted to the Apostle Paul his word of law and gospel. The law that says we're sinners in need of forgiveness, and the gospel that says that Christ has done everything on the cross to pay for our sins. These are some of the mysteries of God that are spoken of here in our passage that have been entrusted to the Apostle Paul. But it includes really all of the teachings of the Christian faith that are revealed. Things like the Trinity, the Incarnation, the fact that Jesus is both God and man at the same time, the fact that God comes to us in baptism and washes us of our sins, the fact that he comes in his supper and gives us not just bread and wine, but his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, the fact that he gives a word of forgiveness that says, your sins are forgiven through his ministers. God gives all of these things to be proclaimed. They are mysteries. But why are they called mysteries? Because they're things that we couldn't come up with on our own. They are revealed to us. Human reason does not come up with the idea that someone would come and die like a criminal on a cross, and that that would pay for sins. That would say that we can be in heaven reconciled with God forever. That doesn't make sense to human reason. Human reason does not conclude that by observation. Human reason doesn't conclude that when you use water and you say a few words, then a person is washed of sin and becomes a new person, a new creature in Christ. Human reason doesn't conclude that when we hand out bread and wine, that it's the body and blood of Jesus and you have forgiveness of sins. Human reason cannot conclude these things. They have to be revealed. These are the mysteries of God that the Apostle Paul has been entrusted with, and that he hands out in these days, in the days that he lived before the second coming of Christ. And they are the same things that every preacher of the gospel has to hand out week after week and day after day as he goes about being a steward of the mysteries of God. He hands out these same things, and he wants to be found trustworthy, that he has been faithful with what God has given him in these days before the Lord's second coming. Because what matters is what the Lord will say on the last day. A good servant of Christ wants to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's what the Apostle Paul would have wanted to hear as well. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so the Apostle Paul emphasizes here in our passage that it really doesn't matter at the end of the day what the Corinthians thought by their own judgments, by their own human reason about what Paul said. What matters is what God will say on the last day when he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Now, this should teach us a couple of things as Christians. Number one, it should say we want churches where there are stewards who care about what the Word of God says, who want to give out God's Word of both law and gospel. This passage teaches us that that's what we should expect, that this person is being a good steward of those mysteries. And we don't pronounce our own judgment based on what we think a church or a pastor should be, but rather we pronounce the judgment of the Word of God. We simply look at what God's Word says and compare it to what we hear and see if the two line up. And we also use our confessions, the confessions of our church, that have been written in the face of controversy and errors that have been promulgated in the Christian church. And we say, we use that because it's a right exposition of the Word of God to also judge the teaching of the teachers in our church, to judge what the stewards are doing with the gifts that God has entrusted to them. And we see, are they being faithful with them? So this is what we learn about our lives in the church and how we look at the church and its ministers. There may be any number of things that we like about a church, its programs, its activities, the people that are there, that we know them. But really the most important thing at the end of the day is, are the mysteries of God being stewarded properly? Is God's word of law and gospel being given out? Because that's what matters on the day that we are about to die. Is, do we have the forgiveness of Jesus? Do we know that our sins are forgiven and we're going to stand before God in all righteousness and purity? Or when our Lord comes again, will we greet him gladly and joyfully because we know and we have been comforted and with the gospel week in and week out and heard both the law that convicts us of sin, but also the good news of the gospel that our sins are forgiven and we have new life in Christ. So that teaches us, on the one hand, to look for certain things in our churches and pastors. But on the other hand, it also teaches us something about how we live our lives here in this earth before our Lord's coming again. Notice that Paul is concerned in his life about what the Lord says. It is so easy in this world for us to be wrapped up and absorbed in what is the person next to me going to say about what I say or do. And not to consider that there is someone coming again, our Lord, who is going to disclose the secrets of our hearts, who sees and knows all things. And we have to ask, what does he say about what we do? And when we look at our lives, and we look at our hearts, and we know our thoughts and our motivations and our desires, we know that they are soiled by sin. And we have to come and confess our sins before our Lord. And the good news is that this Lord who comes again to judge the living and the dead offers his forgiveness to you for the things that you are ashamed of, that you have thought or said or done, that may have been in secret, that others may have commended you for, but that you know are wrong and that are wrong in the light of God's word. Our Lord gives his forgiveness for these things. And he loves to give it out to you to say that you are his forgiven child and you are washed clean. And you come to his supper, you come to the absolution, and you receive his forgiveness and you can rejoice. That should our Lord come again at any time, at any moment, you know that you will stand before him not clothed in all the good things you have done, but you will come clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who has perfectly stewarded the mysteries of God, who has given out the good gifts of God, the gifts that Christ freely gives, as we sang in our hymn, for your forgiveness, life, and salvation. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.